This podcast was recorded Wednesday, May 11th at 11:08 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like we'll have the abortion debate settled.
Yeah, right. Are you new here? Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly podcast about those shrewd politicians or snollygosters who fill the State House, White House, and everywhere in between. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, there is a better chance of a mid-May blizzard than Ohio's conservative legislature guaranteeing abortion access. So some State House Democrats are preparing to put it on the ballot.
We'll hear from one. But first, we have yet another ruling in Ohio's months-long saga that is redrawing legislative district maps. It's not necessarily a concrete ruling, but the Ohio Supreme Court essentially telling a state panel that they need to show their work.
That's right, like back in school. The court told the Ohio Redistricting Commission to show why they should not be held in contempt of court for yet again missing a deadline to approve new constitutional legislative maps.
That assignment was due Thursday. If you feel like you've heard this all before, it's because you have. This is the third time now that the court has made such a ruling. The Ohio Supreme Court has so far stopped short of holding the commission members actually in contempt, most recently in mid-April when, after such a warning, the commission approved a very minimally altered map that was already ruled unconstitutional. They just made very minor tweaks to it, and so that sort of kicked the can down the road, and so now the Ohio Supreme Court telling them once again, do something, I guess, like the protesters yelling at DeWine, do something.
This has been described as a game of chicken. I think we're approaching that point where the two vehicles are someone's going to have to veer off or they're going to collide, and it seems like the commission is daring the Supreme Court to hold it in contempt.
You know, I was incredibly frustrated by this whole process now. Now I'm just mesmerized by the chutzpah of the commission members. They just are thumbing their nose at the system, and it is honestly pretty amazing that it's working so well.
Yeah, they are arguing that the Supreme Court keeps changing the rules, that they're not being fair, that they're being too rigid. But the bottom line is these maps are drawn to, one, protect incumbents, and two, to give Republicans as much of an advantage as legally possible. There is that concern of the whole separation of powers thing, which I really don't understand, because this is what occasionally the branches of government are going to clash. What's happening here is either one branch of government is going to force another branch of government to do something, or one branch of government is going to openly disobey another branch of government. Either way, it's a constitutional clash. If the Supreme Court holds the commission in contempt, you could argue that's crossing the line in separation of powers. But if the commission doesn't do what the Supreme Court says, that's the same thing. So I don't know where this is going to end up, but it's right now they're at a stalemate.
Yeah, it's probably going to end up with what's known as map number 3 being used. That's what the federal court has indicated, that if there's not a map that gets approval from the Ohio Supreme Court approved by the end of May, they are going to likely revert to map 3, which has already been ruled unconstitutional, but it's like the best of the worst maps. I'm not sure why number 3 is even being floated as a possibility here, but it's really an incredible process. It's really, voters overwhelmingly approved this process in 2015, saying that they wanted more transparency. They wanted maps that were not gerrymandered. Over 70% of Ohioans voted for this, when only about 56% of Ohioans usually vote Republican in any given statewide election. So this had bipartisan support. And Republicans just have so much to lose here that they are clinging to every fabric of power that they can.
Yeah, and this, of course, is happening on the other side in other states. New York, it's in court that those maps have been ruled unconstitutional because they heavily favor Democrats in that state. This really comes down to Maureen O'Connor. How much of a stand does she want to take? Because she's the swing vote here. The Democrats are on one side, the Republicans are on the other side. Even though O'Connor is a Republican, she has been siding with the Democrats in these cases. Politically, she has really nothing to lose. She leaves office at the end of the year. I don't see her seeking a higher office after this. My guess is that she is just, you know, trying to uphold the integrity of the Ohio Supreme Court, and how much of a stand does she want to take to do that?
You know, of course, the commission has suggested that they want to call a truce.
This
they
is
want
rich.
They want right, this is the best. I was about to say the same thing, so I'm glad we're on the same page. That they just want to wait until next year.
Yeah, just wait. Just take the map we drew. We'll put it off till next year. We'll have an election with these what have been ruled unfair
BS.
Districts.
They're not. They're going to do the same thing.
Well, here's what happens next year. Maureen O'Connor is gone, and whoever wins the Chief Justice race. Yeah. They're going to have to appoint that. That's going to cause a vacancy because the two sitting justices are going for it. It will be the governor. In all likelihood, that's going to be Mike DeWine, unless Nan Whaley can pull an upset. The odds are that's going to be a Republican governor appointing a Republican justice to the Supreme Court, who will then rule on the next set of maps they do next year. So calling a truce is basically saying we win.
Let's kick the can down the road until we're guaranteed victory.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's not democratic, it's undemocratic, and it's not the will of the voters, but they don't care. You know, I joke a lot about wanting chaos and wanting the nonsense to happen because it gives us more to talk about, but it's really gross that this is happening.
They should just be able to come to a compromise agreement. I mean, no incumbent should be protected, draw fair maps, and be done with it. But, of course, that's not going to happen, whether Republicans are in charge or whether Democrats are in charge like it's happening in New York. This is the way to hang on to power and to get your policies enacted into law.
Yeah, they'll probably just have to, if people are really passionate about, well, it's hard to say what will happen because in Michigan, there's a lot of politics that influence that independent commission. And in New York, they have ignored the commission largely that was set up to be independent. So it's impossible to fully remove politics from this, but this system is definitely not working. And so
as of right now, it's not. I think we ask folks who have pushed ballot issues in the past, when does the next one start? Because this doesn't seem to be working. And they all say, well, it's not over yet. Let's give it time. Let's see if it works. So, but we're getting to that point where I don't think it's working. I think they don't think it's working. And is there a better way? And even Maureen O'Connor said, activists who want redistricting reform should start thinking about going back to the ballot.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be right back.
You're listening to a WOSU Public Media podcast. Everything you hear is funded by listeners like you. Become a member of WOSU Public Media today and support digital content like Snolly Goster and the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast. Make a gift at WOSU.org.
This is Snolly Goster from WOSU Public Media. While the fight over redistricting is never ending, the debate over abortion rights is, in a sense, really just getting going, or at least this new phase is just getting going. With the leak of the draft Supreme Court majority opinion that would overturn Roe v. Wade, supporters and opponents of abortion rights have been mobilizing to prepare for a post-Roe reality in Ohio and across the country. Here in Ohio, we already have the so-called heartbeat law, which would ban abortion once cardiac activity is detected. That law is on hold, but would likely take effect soon after the court overturns Roe, if that were to happen. And lawmakers are also considering a so-called trigger law, which would immediately ban abortion in Ohio if Roe is overturned. That's the movement on the anti-abortion rights side. The other side is mobilizing as well. A group of Democratic women in the Ohio legislature wants to change the Ohio Constitution to protect abortion rights and rights to all methods of contraception. Needless to say, that would face long odds in the Ohio legislature, which is very conservative, and with Governor DeWine, who strongly opposes abortion rights. Joining us to discuss this proposal is one of those four lawmakers, State Senator Nikki Antonio of Lakewood, which is just west of Cleveland. Senator, welcome to Snolly Goster.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for inviting me.
Just what would your proposal do?
It's very basic. What our proposal do would be to introduce an amendment that would, the amendment would be presented as a resolution, both from the House and the Senate, to embed into the Constitution the rights to both abortion and contraception. It's very basic, very simple. And we are planning on, our intention is to introduce in both the House and the Senate the same exact language.
So you would introduce it to the Senate and then in the House, and how would it get to the Constitution? What's the law?
We'd introduce, our intention is to introduce it simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And we're looking actually at some language from another state. Michigan has introduced something similar. And so we're finalizing language right now with the intention to introduce soon.
And you would need a 3/5 majority, yeah, in both chambers to get this to the Constitution? Would it go to the voters?
3/5 majority to pass it, and then that would trigger it going to the voters.
Okay.
That's one way to get an initiative on the ballot. And of course, the other way to get an initiative on the ballot is if the voters and the citizens decide that they would want to put something on the ballot, they can do that through the gathering of signatures and going through that process.
You said you're writing the proposal, but what would your proposal look like? Would abortion be legal in all cases? Would abortion be legal only up to viability, like we have in the Roe versus Wade decision? Would it be up to 20 weeks, 15 weeks? What are some of the specifics you're considering?
Well, and I want to say, I have not seen the final language, but first of all, it would pretty much, what we're looking at is that the language that was originally in Roe. So I think most Americans that support, and we know that a majority of Americans, a majority of Ohioans support there being the availability of abortion. They support that. So what we're talking about is having it at the standard. Viability has always been a part of this. And we also know with science that changes. So certainly that's a consideration.
Why now? Roe has not been overturned. If this draft becomes reality, it likely will be. The legislature has not moved to pass any new legislation regarding abortion, other than the heartbeat law, which was the most recent restriction passed. Although we do assume the legislature would move pretty quickly to ban or severely restrict abortion rights. But why do it now? Why not wait until there's something the lawmakers are doing and try to fight it there?
You know, Mike, there are times when we look at the tide as it's coming towards us, and we know that we have to take action. As legislators, there are a few things in our tools in our toolbox are actually doing this very thing is one of the tools. One of the ways that we can take a stand, we can communicate to the people of Ohio that we are raising our voice for them. It's a representative government, and we are saying this is our line in the sand, and we're also showing this is the direction we should be going in if we want to guarantee and enshrine the freedoms and the liberties for the people of Ohio to have access to reproductive freedom. Clearly, we need to put it in the Constitution.
You're a member of the LGBT community. Do you fear that if Roe is overturned, reading Justice Alito's opinion, that other rights, the right for same-sex marriage, the right to full choice of contraception could be also eroded?
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, we all read his opinion that was leaked. We know that those things perhaps will be questioned. That concerns me, but I have to say, the attempt to try to put LGBTQ people back in some sort of a closet, render us invisible, that time has passed. There's no closet big enough to put us all in, and we won't go back there. We are contributing members of society, and so if we down the road have to fight that battle again, people are prepared to do that. It's sad. I think it's a sad commentary in a democracy that the highest court in the land would use that bench to actually take rights away from people rather than guaranteeing the rights of all people in a democracy.
Now, Justice Alito writes in that draft opinion, he says this really only applies to abortion. He said it should not be used for other issues. He argues this decision would go beyond privacy in that, in his view, abortion ends a human life. Does that preclude, you, in your opinion, future courts from not using this to, you know, turn back gay marriage or to turn back interracial marriage, which has been suggested by some?
Well, one would hope so, but we heard from all of the justices in their interviews, the newest ones that have been assigned to the court recently, that this was already decided law, and now we're seeing that that's not true. So I think I would like to believe that to be true, that this won't be the standard that's used going forward, but I think all of the American people right now are very concerned about what can we even believe and trust from the Supreme Court. And that's a sad state of affairs.
You know, turning to the bigger picture here, as this debate continues and enters possibly a new phase, the court, if it does overturn Roe, will kick this back to the state legislatures. And, you know, one way to settle controversies is an up or down vote of the legislature or an up or down vote of the public by a referendum. But there's a road to those types of votes, and those roads, not lately, but sometimes include compromise. Both sides give something. Would you be willing to compromise with abortion rights opponents on a term where abortion would be legal that's less shorter than viability? In Europe, for instance, most countries ban abortion after 12 or 14 weeks. Is there any chance for a compromise or middle ground on this issue?
I think that people who are in the abortion rights frame and really want to see reproductive freedom, I think there is always room for conversation and consideration. But I would have to see where we were at that moment. I think one of the areas that there's no room for compromise is not having contraception available to all. This is, to me, if someone is anti-abortion, then you would want to make sure that everyone who wanted access and needed access to contraception would have it. We should all agree on that.
Abortion rights opponents, they argue that contraceptive methods like the IUD or the morning after pill, they take effect after conception. Those you think should be still legal and free to choose by everybody.
Look, I am a person who believes in, I trust women and pregnant people. I trust people who are considering having a family or not having a family to be fully capable, if they're full citizens, to make those kinds of decisions on their own.
Mm-hmm. Getting back again to the politics of it, and if this ever does get on the ballot, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of the majorities, clear majorities of Americans and Ohioans support keeping Roe. The last polls that I saw, 55 to 60% of Ohioans support keeping Roe. Roughly 30% want Roe overturned. They're clearly in the minority. So the polling is on your side. But that support is nuanced. Most people who support legal abortion, they want restrictions to get approved by voters, and to counter arguments that you will face, that you support abortion up until birth, which is what the other side will argue, do you have to include reasonable restrictions in your amendment?
I believe Roe, the decision of Roe had reasonable restrictions and constraints around it, if we really look at it. And I think that reasonable people would also know that what you mentioned about full-term abortion just isn't even an issue, and is a talking point for people to instill fear. And I don't think it's constructive to the conversation. We must remember that abortion is, at its core, it's a medical procedure. And sometimes there is the necessity for this medical procedure. We need physicians to understand how to perform abortions at times when the life of the mother is at risk. There is a fetal anomaly, and they have to make a decision about whether or not to terminate a pregnancy. There are all kinds of reasons and stories from women that we hear every day about people who had a wanted pregnancy. And then for some reason, something went wrong and it was necessary. This is a necessary procedure as well. But getting back to the main point, the bottom line is if women and pregnant people are fully capable of performing as citizens in this society, they are fully capable of making these decisions on their own.
Have you played this out when, assuming the legislature doesn't go along with you, when might this be on the ballot? 2024?
That's a good question. I think that could probably be the earliest because part of what we need to do, although who knows, maybe it could be sooner, but part of what we have to look at, what's right in front of us, is the fact that we're having decisions made by legislators who are in gerrymandered districts who do not represent the will of the majority of the people in the state of Ohio. We have to fix that and somehow get that right so that the voices of the people in Ohio are truly represented, because right now they are not.
State Senator Nikki Antonio of Lakewood, thanks for joining us on Snollygoster.
Thanks so much, Mike.
I appreciate it.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, which goes to the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. This week, it goes to failed Republican candidate for Ohio Governor Joe Blystone for going back to that old well of unsubstantiated claims of voter fraud.
Now, voter fraud does happen, but it happens extremely rarely, and it's bad. We know that. But it's not really affecting elections here in Ohio, certainly not to the point of helping Joe Blystone win anything. He got just 21% of the vote in last week's primary, and Mike DeWine got 48%. It wasn't close.
It was not close at all, but that did not stop Blystone from tweeting a graphic with the words voter fraud, along with the text, quote, "Everyone needs to carefully document every anomaly you encountered while voting yesterday."
The first reply to that tweet read, "The results came in exactly as polled." The bulk of the replies were people mad at him for not dropping out of the race to give Jim Renacci a better chance to defeat Mike DeWine.
Yeah, there were a couple claims of unsubstantiated voter discrimination or voter fraud in there. But
Secretary of State Frank LaRose also came out and said there was a very good election, no instances of voter fraud. we'll see if he says the same thing about 2020 as he progresses down this campaign and future campaigns.
Well, he has essentially said the same thing about 2020 before he was, I almost use the word groveling there, but before he was very aggressively courting the endorsement of Donald Trump. He was defending Ohio's election, which I guess he can play both sides there because Trump clearly won Ohio. But I did have to laugh when he was talking about the Blystone claims, and he said, "You know, it's unfortunate that sometimes candidates make these claims when they lose."
Do they know what the definition of irony is?
Anyway, Joe Blystone, for your unsubstantiated claims of voter fraud possibly affecting your really significant loss in the primary for Ohio governor.
You know, all things considered, he did pretty well.
He won Richland County.
He won 22 counties.
Including Richland, which is home to Mansfield, big county.
I know, he's a no-name candidate before this election.
Yeah.
Take it as a win. Whatever.
Well, anyway, Joe Blystone, you are our Snollygoster of the Week. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can email it to us at snollygoster@wosu.org. For our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.